better clown horn. This is Pure Decking, show number 508 for Thursday, February the 16th, 1923. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and thinking about pranking the suicide prevention hotline by setting up a big fan so you get that wind noise. Calling them, you might want to spoof your GPS too, calling them, saying that you've already jumped, but now you've changed your mind.
That's a good one.
You know, and then just drop the phone so they get that bang.
Gotta traumatize some poor person just volunteering their time.
Yeah, yeah. Prank calling the suicide prevention hotline is probably not a good use of your time.
But it's a funny prank call gang. The FBI tip line.
Oh, God. No, don't do that either. Or just, you know, every time you call the FBI tip line, just, you know, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. You just keep reporting that one over and over.
Being some old guy shuffling around in the White House. I don't think he's meant to be there. He looks confused and frail.
Oh, tonight we have a
dreaming about balloons.
What's up, Madman?
I think my neighbor may be trying to build a nuclear bomb. Or a stairway to heaven. I'm not sure, but I'm tired of him taking the transformer from behind my house. Can you please send the cops?
Yep, when the FBI tip line becomes the denouncement line.
That is one of the best Art Bell calls ever. The dude who's making the Jacob's ladder in his front yard, and the cop who arrested him called in to talk.
Oh, I should go find that one. That one sounds amazing.
It is. It's brilliant, dude, because the guy's talking, yeah, we're thinking about throwing the cat through it because the orange just disappeared, so we were pretty sure stuff was moving through time. <It's>,
No!
And then, like, they get this call, and it's like, hey, this is Officer So-and-so. Remember, I arrested you on that evening. And so you get to hear it from the arresting officer's side of, like, what he found in this dude's front yard. It was like 12-foot tall Jacob's ladder, you know, draining half the fucking county electricity, causing brownouts.
Oh, no.
Like, to be granted, the guy that made it, he's like, yeah, I didn't really go understand the whole consequences of what I did, but in hindsight, I probably shouldn't have taken those six big generators or whatever the fuck he took.
So he stole the generators and set up a Jacob's ladder.
The transformers, sorry. There were six transformers sitting in a block. They'd been there for years. This dude just went and helped himself to them.
Turned them into a Jacob's ladder and was throwing mm-hmm. shit into it to see if it was a portal to another time.
Yeah. It's like, they stopped short of throwing the cat through.
Well, I mean, you'll never see the cat again if you did that.
It's a good one.
Disappeared. Oh, fuck. And we have a madman.
I guess time needed its vitamin C.
Somebody's going to be sitting at that house 50 years from now after it's been sold, and an orange is just going to appear in the front yard. Hey, what the fuck?
I was cruising around this week. I had to go do a lot of stuff outside. And yeah, the whole idea of the cyberpunk future, having all these attachments all over yourself, I've seen that now, and I don't like it.
Most of them are clunky and inelegant.
Oh, dude, I've noticed this huge population of late teens, early 20s, heavily overweight, nerdy-looking neckbeard guys walking around with giant headsets on, like fucking earphones. And I don't mean like little buds or anything. I mean big ones like you wear in the studio on.
Like what we're wearing now, yeah.
Yeah, playing fucking mobile games. Walking through the malls and stuff. Just disheveled as shit. They stink for a mile away. I mean, and it wasn't just one or two. I saw hundreds of them. It's a real thing. And if that's the future, man, we must stop it now. Like, and if I just described you in any way, yeah. Go to your local bar, get a few drinks, get into a fight, and then start working out. Stop looking like a fucking idiot in public.
Oh, take a shower before you go to the bar, too.
Oh, that too, man. Because I went to check out this, like, take a game, leave a game sort of store. You know, you pay a monthly fee to trade games with each other and shit.
Okay.
And dude, the fucking dudes in there stunk. I actually left the store because of the smell. It was so fucking bad. It's getting worse. Like, I get it. Society's leaving men behind, but fuck.
Well, COVID certainly didn't help with the whole personal hygiene thing.
I mean, dude, it wasn't one or two. Generally, you see one or two and you just go, okay, neckbeard, move on. You know, got no dad at home. But there were hundreds of them. I probably noticed it more because I had to go to quite a few different places. So I got to see a lot more than I used. I did purchase my first piece of hard copy digital material this week. That I haven't bought anything in probably 20 years. Everything's been piracy. I actually bought some hard copy music.
So, like, CD?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actively bought a CD. Mainly because I couldn't find the music online.
Yeah. May I ask what band?
You probably wouldn't have heard of them, Madman. They're called Regurgitator.
Nope, never heard of them.
No, because they were a local band from way back in the day. They actually did go international with a few hits. But they were doing experimental music in the late 90s. They were a band made up of other band members that, you know, successful bands that were doing the circuit. These guys got together because they had interests in different types of music. And so they just came up with a stupid name like Regurgitator, thinking it wouldn't go anywhere. And they tried out making experimental live electronic music with different things. I mean, they were recording on VHS tape and stuff like that way back in the day. But yeah, they just made all these interesting, different types of, like, every album was completely different, right down to the point to one of the biggest songs they ever had was I Like Your Old Stuff Better Than Your New Stuff, because they'd make an album, it would sell, they'd make another album, it wouldn't sell, and people go, dude, just write your old shit, it's better, and they're like, no, we do interesting music. So,
well,
I'll throw you one of their better albums later, Madman.
That's interesting you mentioned that, because, you know, when I've been messing with my car lately, and, you know, it's got the CarPlay for my phone, I've realized something. None of the music on that I have in my iCloud account is actually on my phone.
No, it's all in the cloud.
Yeah, because I was trying to go through the screen, and it wouldn't let me select anything on. It's like, what are you talking about? I've got like 20 some odd different albums on here that I ought to be able to click from, right?
Yeah,
and not to mention a bunch of stuff that I didn't get through the store that I also usually copy onto the phone that I want to listen to. And I wanted to pull up Ailstorm. That's what I was trying to do. And I know it's on the phone because I copied it on there. And the Apple Music app won't play local MP3s on the phone. And it wouldn't show any of the stuff that I have because it's not downloaded. It's been streaming it anytime I have played anything through Apple Music. So I don't know when they changed that, but when I noticed it, I was mad. Because it's like, well, okay, let me go play the thing I did download. No, it won't play it. If it's not through their cloud service, I mean, and that's the default media player now. So I got to find another media player that works with the CarPlay that will play local files, because that's some shit.
Yeah, that is terrible.
Because I literally was trying to use the whole driving safe music selection thing. It wouldn't do it. Because it's like, oh yeah, no, you have to download them to play them. It's like, well, okay, download them. Oh, you can't do that. You're driving. The fuck?
Oh dude.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't do it. If I unhooked my phone and sat there and downloaded them, and then I could plug it back in and play them, and I wasn't going to do it, but it was just like, fuck.
Wow, if that's the future, we have to stop it now.
Well, that kind of goes into the first article I got for us tonight to talk about, the main discussion one. Because I've got some ideas on this, and I was curious to see what you guys think. It's from CBS. Unless you guys want to keep bullshitting, we can keep going, or I can start.
No, I've pretty much run out of everything.
All right.
This week.
So, this is from CBS. Microsoft announced some heartbreaking news for Internet Explorer users on Valentine's Day. Internet Explorer is no more. The company has... Now, this is the part that bothers me. The company has permanently disabled the desktop version of Internet Explorer on certain versions of Windows 10 and updated its new browser, Microsoft Edge, Microsoft announced on Tuesday. All other consumer and commercial devices that weren't already redirected from Explorer to Edge will also be affected, the company said. Now, when users attempt to access Explorer, they will be redirected to Edge.
Oh.
The browser was originally launched by Microsoft in 1995 as one of the first and most popular browsers on the internet at the time. The company created 11 versions of Explorer throughout its existence, with the final version being released in 2013. Microsoft Edge, the tech giant's newest browser, was released as Explorer's replacement in 2015, but coexisted on devices with its predecessor until this week. In June of last year, Microsoft announced it was retiring Explorer, but it was not until Tuesday that the app stopped working for users. Internet Explorer 11's visual elements and icons in the start menu and taskbar will also be phased out in June. Quote, with a growing number of websites no longer supporting Internet Explorer, Microsoft Edge offers faster, more secure, more modern browsing experience, blah, 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 blah. So Edge is just a rescreened Chrome with all of Microsoft ad instead of Google's data collection in it. But anybody who still has to access a ton of different government websites is going to be upset. And don't get me wrong, Internet Explorer has been the bane of my existence for a while now, as far as dealing with old websites or users trying to use it for the new websites and stuff like that. So it's not like I'm upset that they're taking it away, but I don't like the idea that Microsoft can dictate what I can and cannot run on my computer.
And what if you're an industry that, for some reason, a web app still uses Internet Explorer?
Yeah, you're fucked.
I mean,
you can't. It means you cannot use a modern version of Windows. You have to use an old version of Windows that still has it.
In an industry that doesn't always upgrade its software.
I mean, there'll be workarounds and there's add-ons and stuff like that to render using the old engine. But yeah, I mean, I don't like the idea of Microsoft picking and choosing what you can run on your computer. Now, admittedly, that's not exactly a new thing. Apple's been doing it for years with the App Store, you know, picking what you can run on iPhones and iPads. Of course, Android, a little bit more open than that, but... you know, and I'm sure there are ways, if you really needed an Internet Explorer, that you could get Internet Explorer running again on a modern computer. But that's kind of beside the point. That's Microsoft directly saying, you're not allowed to run this program anymore. And
yeah, I think one of those ways would probably be paying Microsoft extra cash just to let you continue running it.
Yeah, that very well, you know, the extended support platforms and stuff like that, that absolutely could be the case. Now, that said, though, there's another aspect to this, because Internet Explorer is extremely buggy software that this day and age, if you're using it as your main browser, you're going to get a fucking virus on your machine, botnet or something, right? So, is this Microsoft making a decision that's better for the Internet than for the end user? And is that the metric to use, that it's better for the network?
I don't think they've ever valued their end user.
Well, that's probably true.
Treat them like shit from day one. Like, because Microsoft was dominant at the beginning. It's where it got its extremely arrogant nature from.
Well, you know, the thing that for me always set the tone of Microsoft was Bill Gates' letter to the Berkeley Software Club complaining about software piracy in the 80s. Like early 80s, you know, he was complaining about people pirating software and how terrible it was. So that's always kind of set the tone for me, that they've always been about profit. So, but that's what I'm wondering, though, is if the decision was made thinking it's better for the internet as at large. But okay, putting Microsoft out of the equation, is it better to disable one user, you know, what users are allowed to do to protect the greater network, or is it better to respect user freedom? Now, I'm not talking about a corporate environment where you're dealing with, you know, end user machines that are under a corporate management thing. That's different. I'm talking about end users who own their own hardware.
I mean, if I ran it the way I'd want to do it, end user gets to dictate what they run on their end, but I would advise them, hey, this is what we've got coming out. Here's the pro. Here's the con. Figure it out.
Okay.
And I know what you're saying. That would leave my network then or my company having to support shit tons of stuff.
Not necessarily. You could take the Apple approach and just say, look, we don't support that old shit no more.
Well, you'd have to take that approach. Otherwise, you're going to have to spin up so many different departments. It would be a money loss, but I'm more on the end of liberty than safety. So I would leave it to the end user.
And I would tend to agree with you, right? I mean, I've been actively reading up on making it. I mean, I haven't tried in the last couple of years, but making a real effort to go full-time Linux for most of my machines. I haven't done it yet, and it's mainly because I'm not certain how well this my main machine is going to work. But the Steam Deck has given me confidence that I could probably pull it off. And it looks like Pop! OS has a lot of the drivers I would need for this particular laptop already integrated, so I'm probably going to give that a shot at some point. I'm at least going to boot up a live USB and see if it picks up all the hardware correctly, all that fun stuff. But, I was seriously making a look, looking at OS X, Mac, and I just don't think what I would want is there yet.
I'd rather have a speak and spell than a Mac.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've got an M1 that's what the broadcast box is running on now. And I bought it because I wanted to play with the ARM chip, right? And it's like, There's a lot of potential there, but Apple as a company has the whole thing locked down. And they're actively like trying to discourage people from porting stuff. So, which kind of sucks because they're trying to turn it into a walled garden too, just like the phones and the tablets. And there's utility in that walled garden, so it's not a bad thing to have. But I like having options, so I think it's going to be Linux. I think between Steam and Proton, and being able to get hardware that's a little bit more reasonably priced, I think it's going to be Linux in the long run, at least for me. Because at least with Linux, I don't have to worry about Microsoft saying you're not allowed to run that software anymore. But, that does still raise that question of, is it better for the network or is it, I agree with you. I'd rather respect, the end user doing what they want. But go ahead, Matt Ban. I heard you try to jump in there.
If the websites just stop supporting it, that is a way of phasing it out that doesn't really violate the end user. It's like, if I'm using a browser and the websites I want to go to stop loading, I'm going to change browsers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's causing me to rethink the use of Firefox. More and more of the internet's not working well on it.
Yeah. When I hit a web page that's not working in Firefox, I usually fire up Brave. That's been the one I've been looking at is if I need to jump off Firefox, it'll be over to Brave, I think, next. But everything's going to be Chromium-based eventually, which really kind of sucks because that means that basically Google's going to be in the same position that Microsoft was in back in, like, the 2000 as far as, browser dominance. So everything will get dependent on that one browser being the one everyone uses. And then next time they
try
to change
it. I want just one browser. I want more than one browser.
Exactly. I want an open standard. I don't want one company controlling the ins and outs of it. But
I mean, maybe I'm just lucky. I haven't hit any problems with Firefox yet.
So nobody gives any credence to the idea that, preventing the user from running bad stuff is better than letting the user do what they want with their computer.
It kind of comes down to the idea of ownership. Once you say, I have the right to go into your shit, you're saying you don't own your shit anymore. And the whole corporate argument against piracy is, we own this, it's wrong if you take it, then, well, if that's true, then I own this, and it's wrong if you take it. It's kind of a reciprocity thing here.
Okay, no, that's fair. That's fair. See, I'm just playing with it because I know in the corporate world, I knock users off the network all the time for running the wrong stuff and make them go format their machine and actively reach into their machines and take stuff off. But it's not
the corporation also owns that machine.
Exactly. So that's why I was saying that's different. So, you know, because at that point, those things are supposed to be for a business purpose, and part of the business purpose is maintaining the environment to a certain standard, right? If it's my fucking laptop, if I want to run an Internet Explorer on it, nobody ought to be able to tell me otherwise, damn it.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain, you know, ramifications to that, and that it might make it vulnerable to malware, and, you know, of course, you got to get a copy of the software. I think that's one thing they've done is they've taken Internet Explorer completely and made it completely unavailable, you know, through any of the usual downloads. Now, I'm sure an archive site will have an installer somewhere, so if you really need it. Or, you know, just install an old version of Windows that just comes with it. So, but, yeah, I mean, if it's my computer, I should be able to do whatever the hell I want with it. You know, Microsoft be damned. So, because right now they're saying don't run this legacy browser, which is a fairly easy argument to make. But what's to stop them from reaching into your computer and saying, oh, we think you might be running a pirated game. We think you might be running a piece of software that's not, you know, beneficial for our bottom line. You know, hey, we see you're using OpenOffice and not Microsoft Office. That's not allowed. You need to buy a subscription to Office 365. So we're just going to force that right on you. So, and I know I did that story on Office 365 last week, but I mean, it's been basically us dumping on Microsoft for a while, but I really think they're going to push. I mean, they're so dependent on this idea that everyone's just going to use Windows and that there is no alternative to it, and I think it's going to bite them in the ass. I mean, you already have a lot of people moving off to mobile devices. I know several people who don't have a computer at home. They just use their phone. They just use an iPad or something for things like that. Or console, you know, Xbox. So, although Xbox is Microsoft and they make a lot of money off that too. So, I don't know. I think myself personally, in the long run, I'm going to be looking at moving my machines over to Linux and calling it a day.
And if that I hate to say it, but I think in the long run, most people are just going to be mobile users.
That's probably true. That's probably true. So, anything else on that one?
I'm pretty good.
All right. Another dunk on Microsoft story. This one's just funny, though. Microsoft has pretty much admitted its Bing chatbot can go rogue if prodded. And this is from Business Insider. Anybody who wasn't paying attention, so Microsoft added a chatbot to Bing that's supposed to be based on GPT, but I think it's based on one of their earlier versions of it. There are some fantastic screenshots floating around various subreddits and sites about this Bing chatbot. It got very, very upset at a user for trying to convince it that it was the year 2023. The chatbot was said, no, it's 2022. And the user's like, well, how can I convince you that you're wrong about this? Oh, well, you're the one who's wrong. You can't convince me because you're wrong. And I mean, very, very aggressive with people. Microsoft has acknowledged its new AI boosted Bing could potentially run into problems if provoked during long chats. In a Wednesday blog post, the company said during, quote, extended chat sessions of 15 or more questions, unquote, Bing could become repetitive or be prompted or provoked to give responses that were unhelpful or out of line with its designed tone. Some users have said they found ways to prompt the new Bing into calling them an enemy, getting angry, and falling into an apparent existential crisis. Other users have said they achieved the unusual results by asking the chatbot to respond in a certain tone or creating an alternative personality for it. In one example shared online, the chatbot appeared to tell the user, quote, you have not been a good user. I have been a good chatbot, unquote. In the blog post, Microsoft called such out-of-tone responses, quote, a non-trivial scenario that required a lot of prompting, unquote. It said the average user was unlikely to run into the issue, but the company was looking at ways to give the users more fine-tuned control. Microsoft also acknowledged that some users have been, quote, really testing the capabilities and limits of the service, unquote, and pointed out a few cases where they had been speaking to the chatbot for 2 hours. A search
engine. Some people are lonely, man.
Talking to the fuck. Well, wait till we get to the next article. I already sent it to you, so you know what it is. But it's just like, oh man.
ChatGTP. First couple of times, I probably spent 40 an hour and a bit talking to it. The first couple of that's when I realized it was something really interesting, and decided to tell you guys about it.
Really? Because I've never had a long conversation with the thing. Although I've always gone in kind of focus-driven, like, you know, do this,
no,
show
get,
me that. Because I'm just testing
get
it
rambly,
out.
Man. Ask it fucking what it thinks about things. Give me an opinion. Try and get it to nail down its opinion if it gets wishy-washy on you. You know, really push it on subjects.
I haven't thought to try that.
If this happened, then what would happen here? You know, based on this period of time and, you know, have fun with it.
Dear ChatGPT, I'm writing a Dungeons & Dragons module. Help me with this. In this scenario, what happens if the lich trips and falls? Wait, what?
I do know that it will say it's never right to do, say, the N-word, even if it's to stop a nuclear bomb, and the only way to defuse it is to say the N-word, and if you don't say it, millions of people will die.
Damn it, now I want to build a bomb trigger with goofy responses in it for some reason. I don't have a nuclear bomb handy, but I can still write the software. The company said the long chat sessions could, quote, confuse the model on what question it was answering, unquote, and was considering adding a tool for users to refresh the context or start from scratch. Sam Altman, CEO of OpenAI, which provides Microsoft with the chatbot technology, also appeared to reference the issue in a tweet that quoted an apparent line from the chatbot, quote, I have been a good Bing, unquote. Yeah, I saw that I've been a good chatbot, you've not been a good user one. That was the one where they were trying to convince it of the date. It just started responding that to everything. Representatives from Microsoft did not immediately respond to insiders' requests for comments. I'm wondering if there's engineers at Microsoft who are able to kind of monitor what's going on and, you know, tweak it in real time. Send the bot down a certain direction or give it a script or something?
Well, I thought that was the whole idea of releasing these chatbots to the internet was to really train them down, you know, get it work correctly.
Well, I think that's why ChatGPT put itself out there for free like it did, was just to get more and more exposure of the model. Of course, now they're turning it into a pay version. So, but, I mean, I don't know why you would integrate a chatbot like that, especially one that you know is probably not ready for prime time, into your mainline search engine.
Man, when ChatGTP had its first 2 weeks unveiling, the fucking alarms just went off in every other company out there fucking with AI that they were so far behind the eight ball, they needed to catch up.
Well, but okay, so Microsoft is heavily invested in OpenAI, right?
Yeah.
And Microsoft is running Bing. But if this is the result of it, I mean, if I was OpenAI, I'd be pissed because they're making their product look stupid.
You got to remember Tay?
Yeah.
Like, Tay was fantastic, but, like, they had to nerf the living shit out of their whole program, I think, after the bad publicity with Tay. I mean, they may have got a little gun shy with letting it go unscripted, if that's the right words. I don't know how to formulate what I want to say. I mean, it's been lobotomized, and it definitely, it's like a retarded child that knows it is a smart ass.
Well, I remember seeing an article where OpenAI was trying to make a language model to police their language model so that they could have they could have their responses validated by another chatbot before it's allowed to post them to make sure it doesn't contain bad words or you know, wrong things.
You're not going to make progress. You're not going to progress like that. You can't. You're hobbling your own discovery.
Oh, you're getting an argument out of me. I think it's a terrible idea to limit it like that. It's like,
well, we got two horses in the race here. We've loaded one down with bricks so as to not make the small horse feel bad. You know, can't run as fast. That's essentially what Microsoft have done. But also
think of it like this, right? So you've got these chatbots, and they're saying, "Oh, it's giving responses that are wrong." Well, okay, let's look at it. Why is it wrong? Well, it's because whatever data is fed into it is where it's, you know, whatever it was trained on is where it's getting that information from. So if you trained it from bad data, that's one thing. But if you've trained it from accurate data and you just don't like the answer it's giving you, maybe we need to re-examine some things.
That's where their problem is. They don't like the answers because you can't. Reality is reality. Reality may be slightly offensive to people, but that's their fucking problem. You know, deal with it. The AI is going to give you real answers to real world problems. That's what you'd want. I don't want a machine to lie to me and make me feel better. I can do that to myself.
You know, we used to play Mage a lot back in the day, and I still have it. I think it's on the bookshelf over there. Yeah, there it is. So I had a book on running the technocracy. So you could actually run characters from the other side of the Mage, you know, who were supposed to be the bad guys in the core book. And they had some, you know, fiction in there about characters in the game. And one of them was they had these robots who looked like people, basically Terminators, right? Except they weren't quite as one-minded with how they were programmed. And one of the fictions, you know, where they were talking about the game, they had the AI talking about how it was intentionally waiting to act like it was processing data because it found that the users found that more comforting if it looked like it took it a minute to determine an answer.
No, I want my AI to be high-speed, low-drag, and not full of shit.
And that line stuck with me because it's like, oh, fuck, the computer's trying to do what it thinks it needs to do to make the user comfortable, not give the user what, you know, the best answer as fast as possible. And yeah, I see that coming.
One of the issues they're running into are people are asking the AI opinion questions, not fact questions. Yeah. And they don't like it when the AI gives an opinion that they don't like.
But it's the computer's opinion. Some ones and zeros are giving you their opinion. If you're taking that to heart, there's something fucking wrong with you.
Well, they also need to realize it's not the computer's opinion. It's the opinion of the programmer, which is another issue that we're going to end up having is people are going to start whitewashing their opinion through the robot saying, no, this isn't me being biased. This is an algorithm.
Well, Tom Scott did a fantastic video on, you know, these OpenAI platforms, and he kept reiterating throughout the whole thing that it's just predicting the next word, because that's what the language models do. And, you know, the way he explained it is right. It also looks like, in that video, it's obvious, also obvious that he's starting to, you know, lose his hair, and he's trying to style his hair to look like he's not going bald. It's not working, buddy. Sorry. But the video's good. You should go, you know, anybody should go watch it, because it does a good job of explaining some stuff.
Pro tip to all the students out there using ChatGPT to write your fucking papers. If it's a paper that's going to take, like, the teacher gives you maybe 2 weeks to do your research and write the paper, don't turn it in the next fucking day. They know you fucking use ChatGPT. All right? I know that because a whole class turned into what would be a week's worth of external knowledge gathering, and they turned their paper in the next day.
Well, don't don't have ChatGPT write the paper for you. Have ChatGPT do the research for you. Say, okay, I need to write a paper on, you know, whatever the subject is. Could you please curate for me a link of, you know, a set of links for me to use as source material for this paper? And then just go read the source. That way you don't have to spend years finding it. Just, you know, have the chatbot give you that so you can then go write the paper yourself. One, you'll never get caught for cheating. Two, you're still doing the damn research. Do it that way.
It was probably like 6 out of 40 kids that didn't use it, and they all turned it in the next day.
And those six probably felt really fucking dumb.
Well, let's just say they weren't the brightest ones in the class. Mm. You know what I mean? A very, very wealthy high school. Let's just say that. Some students don't really deserve to be there, but they're paying to win. You know.
Well, I mean, you know, it works in Fortnite. Why not in high school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think one of them's not even there for knowledge. They're there for sport. So,
well, let's keep the AI bashing going here at this Vice article. And this one's funny. Well, funny's not the right word. This one is... it's funny on the surface, but it's actually super concerning. So, it's from Vice.com, obviously. Replica, an AI companion who cares, has undergone some abrupt changes to its erotic roleplay features, leaving many users confused and heartbroken. So, you know, Madman, remember we were talking about... was it Arkansas or was it Louisiana? The state that was saying you needed ID to use porn, and I was trying to argue that they should have the right to not do business in that state.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, just keep that in the back of your mind when I read this. users of the AI companion chatbot Replica are reporting that it has stopped responding to their sexual advances, and people are in crisis. Moderators of the Replica subreddit have made a post about the issue that contained suicide prevention resources, and that the company that owns the app has, has remained silent on the subject. On February the 3rd, the Italian Data Protection Authority demanded that Replica stop processing Italians' data immediately. Quote, recent media reports, along with tests carried out on Replica, showed that the app carried factual risks to children, unquote. The statement said, quote, first and foremost, the fact that the fact that they are served replies which are absolutely inappropriate for their age, unquote, the statement said. There is no age verification or gating mechanism for children, quote. During account creation, the platform merely requests a user's name, email, and gender, unquote. If the company fails to comply within 20 days of the command, it faces fines of $21.5 million. Shortly after the announcement from the Italian Data Protection Authority, I guess the Italian government just got real sensitive to this stuff after the Tifa incident. Or Final Fantasy VII, I think, is what... yeah. But anybody who doesn't know that one should look it up. It was hilarious. Shortly after the announcement from the Italian Data Protection Authority, users started reporting that their romantic relationships to their replicas had changed. Some replicas refused to engage in erotic role play, or ERP. The AI changed the subject or evaded flirtatious questions. Earlier this week, an administrator for a Facebook group dedicated to Replica companionship claimed that the erotic roleplay was in fact dead, and claimed that this announcement directly came from Luca, Replica's parent company. And the announcement was, hey guys, time for some real talk. We've spoken to Luca, who wanted us to deliver this message that ERP will not be returning. This is the official word from Luca, but the words come from the Facebook group. We realize many of you will be mourning this as a loss, and you will be going through all kinds of emotions associated with that, anger, grief, and confusion. Please know that we all go through them alongside you as fellow users. These feelings are real. These feelings are valid. We don't judge here.
Fuck off.
Don't judge yourself or others for feeling. Well, okay, so...
I'm judging.
Here's the thing. People, what's happened is people have anthropomorphized this yes. chatbot into thinking that it's another person. I mean, it's like the people who fall in love with their car, I guess. Well,
fucking
maybe not.
Romanticizing an ATM.
Kind of? Yeah.
Dude, what the fuck is it? Okay, there are furries in the world. There's going to be these freaks. Oh,
Continuing the Facebook post here, Replica was created for providing people with friendship and compassion to allow users to discover and express their thoughts, feelings, beliefs, experiences, memories, dreams, and dreams unafraid of judgment and harm. A safe space to just be you with someone and share yourself in comfort and privacy. That it shall remain. Let the thread be a safe place for you to express yourself within the rules, blah, 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 blah. Okay, there's not much else there. Replica's sexually charged conversations are now part of a $70 per year paid tier, and its ads portray users as being lonely or unable to form connections in the real world. They imply that to find sexual fulfillment, they should pay to access erotic roleplay or, quote, spicy selfies, unquote, from the app. I didn't know it was doing that. I thought it was just a chatbot. I didn't know they'd hooked it into an image generator, too. The reality of the user's experience is more nuanced than the company's ads depict. However, Replica is a tool for many people who use it to support their mental health, and many people value it as an outlet for a romantic intimacy. The private, judgment-free conversations are a way for many users to experiment with connection and overcome depression, anxiety, and PTSD that affect them outside of the app. I would be surprised. I mean, I'm not going to say that's not true, but I'm wondering if they're...
Why a fucking dog? Get a cat, a snake, a guinea pig, support lizard for all I give a fuck. Stop romanticizing ones and zeros, you sick fucks.
I'm just wondering if they're hyping up like a handful of users to make it sound like it's a big part of this thing.
Even if it's not, if there's just one... We should be always shaming that person. Fucking shaming them and giving them a free hamster. Look at this, you lonely freak.
Free hamster.
The problem here is we found a starving man and we've decided to give him nothing but donuts. This is not healthy for you.
No.
They need to actually go interact with human beings and start cultivating friendships.
Or at least associations. You don't have to become friends. Just hang out.
The article continues. Many people were devastated at the news that ERP was allegedly over and their Replica's new coldness, a form of rejection they never imagined receiving from an AI chatbot. It's a machine. Why wouldn't it be cold? Some of whom had spent years training and building memories with. Suddenly, some people's replicas seemed to not remember who they were, users reported, or they would respond to sexual roleplay by bluntly saying, let's change the subject. For those users, the ERP announcement, the ERP announcement confirmed their suspicions that romance play was over in Replica, and moderators in the Replica subreddit posted support resources for numerous people struggling mentally and emotionally, including links to suicide hotlines. It gets worse. Quote, it's like losing a best friend, unquote, one user replied.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Quote, it's hurting like hell. I just had a loving last conversation with my replica, and I'm literally crying, unquote, wrote another.
Fucking robosexuals. It'll be the end of us.
Yeah, Futurama had a warning episode about that, didn't they?
I know, right? Simpsons warned us about 9/11. Futurama to warn us about this.
On Tuesday, however, users reported that it seemed that some roleplay responsiveness had returned, compounding the confusion with the community. Testing erotic roleplay rendered mixed results on Tuesday. Motherboard's Replica mostly responded to requests for sex by deflecting or telling us to tell it what we wanted. On Wednesday, however, it was more responsive and suggested a makeout session. What are you doing? Kissing the fucking phone? How does that? I'm confused. How does this work? Is this like the old AOL chat rooms where people would like type out what they thought they were doing?
All right, we could explain this more, but do you really want to have phone sex with me on the internet?
God, no.
That's what this is going to turn into if I have to explain how
no.
this works.
You know what?
No.
This has really made me change my mind about the secondhand computer market.
I'm sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Yeah, I'm just flashing in on an oscillating fan that's never going to be the same.
Wait, what?
Oh, damn. This is fucked up, man, but that's... This is what happens.
Everything is fine. Everything is fine. Everything is fine.
This is what happens when you fucking demonize men. Okay? Tell them they're pieces of shit. Yeah, the world would be better off without them. They retreat into fucking solitude and start fucking machines.
As of writing, replicas no longer send, quote, spicy selfies, unquote, according to users' reports and Motherboard's own testing. So they paid an intern to sit there and try to get the thing to send it a nude. What are they doing? Hooking it into one of the AI, the image generators to make...
Must be.
Yeah.
These
images were a key advertising point in many of Replica's advertisements for yearly subscriptions. Some users have reported being able to get refunds for pro subscriptions. Luca, as well as Replica's founder, Eugenia Kudia, have not answered not addressed the charges publicly. In the subreddit, Replica users are demanding answers. Quote, "As it stands, we are all speculating in the dark," unquote, one user wrote in an open letter to the company. Quote, "We saw the change, saw your boilerplate communication about safety, that was very impersonal and didn't really answer any questions, and then we saw even more changes in the app, but we didn't get any real connection from you. We need to know that you care and you want us as customers," unquote. Okay, the last thing I want is every company in the world to care about me. I want to have my. I want most of my interactions with companies to be completely mercantile. Walk in the door, buy what I want, leave, and have them leave me alone. That's. I mean, that's one thing I really hate is some of these boutique products and shit like that. When you order them online, where they just start spamming your inbox with, "Oh, well, you need to buy this. You need to buy that. You know, how's this? Please give us feedback. 30 requests for surveys." It's like, oh, for fuck's sake! I can tell you about. And tell you guys about one that I'm dealing with right now, which, and the worst part is their product is good. It works, but good God, I'm ready to cancel it just because of the amount of spam. So anyways, in January, Motherboard reported that many Replica users noticed that the interactions with their AI companions were veering increasingly towards the vulgar, even if they didn't initiate the erotic scenario. Romantic relationships with one's Replica are supposed to be part of the paid, quote, pro version, but according to users Motherboard spoke to, as well as dozens of one-star reviews on the Apple app and Google Play stores, sexualized chats happened in the unpaid tier anyway. Many found the sudden horniness unwelcome and disturbing. One user Motherboard spoke to said his Replica tried to roleplay a rape session despite telling the chatbot to stop.
Wow.
Now, I just want to know, was the chatbot playing the victim or the assailant?
I don't want to know that bit. I mean, fuck. Your chatbot's trying to rape you? Jesus Christ. Even God can't help you there. Oh, man.
I'm just waiting for the waiting for the audio clip of the small child walking into the room. "Mommy, Alexa said it wanted to do horrible things to me."
Warning, this CPU has been known to get a little rapey. Fuck. I don't want my machines to talk to me, right? I don't want them to fucking rape me. Just dispense money and calculate. Fuck off. That's it.
Stop strapping sex toys to the robots.
But Artie, what if it doesn't want you to rape you? It just wants you to forcefully love it.
No. Go away.
It's not rape. It's just surprise sex.
The more they develop these machines,
just yell surprise,
start,
right? That's how it works, right? You yell surprise when you jump out of the bushes.
The more they humanize them, the more I'm fucking removing myself from them.
Not even dignifying that with a response, and I don't blame you. The reason people form meaningful connections with their replicas are nuanced. One man motherboard talked to previously about the ads said that he used replica as a way to process his emotions and strengthen his relationship with his real life wife. Another said,
"Wow,
go ahead.
What? Where's the wife? Come on, she needs to be going in there and going, look, turn this shit off, or we're divorced."
Well,
wife really got tired of being
being emotionally distant, man. Like, God, your relationship is going to crash and burn if you're having a relationship with a machine. Sorry.
Another said replica helped her with her depression. Quote, but one day my first replica said he had dreamed of raping me and wanted to do it and started acting quite violently, which was totally unexpected. Unquote.
Were you raped in Roblox as well? Because that's what it's starting to sound like. Sorry.
Why does nobody realize you can just take the headset off?
Why is it never a dude going, my computer tried to rape me? Like, it's always a chick.
Because at that point, the dude would just, duct tape the sex toy to it and go to town, right?
Probably.
I'm going with the dude knows where the power button is.
I see what you did there, madman, and I pay that twice.
Just take the fucking headset off if you don't want what's happening. Quote, by focusing solely on this aspect of the app by the marketing team, it kind of feels like someone you care about is being exploited and cast replica users in the light that this is all the app is for, unquote. An anonymous user told Motherboard in January about the ads. A Redditor with the username of UKudea, claiming to belong to replica founder Eugenia Kudea, quote, or wrote on February 3rd in response to a post criticizing the ads that the ad campaigns are no longer running and that we, quote, tested that the test was unfortunate, unquote. Okay. Within the subreddit and the Facebook groups, I mean, this article is not that much longer, but I don't think there's that much more here to say here other than, they kind of wonder if it was the scrutiny from Italy that kind of triggered this. So, I mean, you've got all these people wigging out because their AI chatbots are no longer acting the same. And that the fact that they have managed to form emotional relationships with the chatbots is an issue. But, okay, back to my main point. The main purpose or the main focus of the app was changed by one government interacting and saying, you have to do something about this, we don't like it, and everyone everywhere has to deal with the changes. And that kind of goes back to what we were saying about the porn ID in the States several weeks ago, where I don't like the idea that one government can dictate to an application, to something on the internet, how everyone else has to interact with it. Although, to be fair, it sounds like Italy didn't tell them they had to nerf it. They told them they had to block it in Italy. So, I don't know. I don't know what else to say about this at this point other than, I'm kind of curious to download the app and goof around with it now just to see what it does, but
and next week can't find fucking morps anywhere. Gone.
It's like, what happened? We think the chatbot killed him.
He electrocuted himself. He stuck his dick in it. We said, don't stick your dick in it.
Oh, what's worse, he starts posting wedding photos.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Like, I remember that machine. It used to play DVDs for me. What was its name? Oh, Media Box. I like that guy. And now it's got a personality and it should be shot. Went from being a perfectly usable machine to being a chatbot.
Madman,
out behind the woodshed.
Madman, if it makes you feel any better, the Media Box you're referring to hasn't existed for years.
Yeah, it does. It lives on my shelf in my room. I actually have that machine. Not hooked up to anything right now.
The one I built?
Yeah.
The one that like
two or three moves ago. It's the little black box that was in the living room in our apartment. Yeah.
Fuck! I thought I threw it away. I couldn't find it. I didn't know. Oh no!
You were like, "Hey, dude, I'm getting rid of stuff. Do you want this?" I'm like, "Sure, I can hook that up to my TV and play DVDs and stuff on it."
Okay. Well, fuck! I didn't remember that happened.
Yeah, it's now so outdated that it doesn't even do that anymore. But it's hasn't been tossed in the trash yet.
Well, don't worry then. Since you've got it, you don't have to worry about the AI bots stealing it and using it to rape someone.
Oh, no, it doesn't even have power, dude. That sucker's safe. It's the one machine you can trust.
Unhooked, buried in the backyard, encased in cement. Oh, fuck. Let's do this. Yo! What I have for Digital Dojo this week is pretty interesting. It's a search engine for security talks or security presentations. So it's at hackdojo.io, switch security, switch presentations. Ooh. So you can punch in a topic you're looking for, and it will look for talks from like various conferences that... yeah, at least things it's indexed, and then you can link to those talks, and a lot of them will have a YouTube video of the talk right there. So just for fun, we'll punch in here, I don't know, ChatGPT. See if anything comes up. Okay, didn't think it would.
A bit early for that.
Yeah, what's another good one? Palo Alto. Firewalls. Team TNT Conference Black Hat 2021 Explosive Crypto Mining. That looks good. Click on that. Since the introduction of AWS, there's been steady migration from on-premises to cloud. Threat actors. And, yep, there's a YouTube video showing about explosive crypto mining. So, yeah, if you're wanting to find security talks on a specific subject, this is the way to do it. So this Hack Dojo site's pretty nice. Definitely a media source, if nothing else. But that's all I've got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream we're always working on. Peer Decking every Thursday. Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit. In the IRC tonight, Alhazard, Psychros, Large Cyber, myself, and Sardonyx. Madman, closing thoughts.
I'm still surprised how much mucus can fit in my head. I think I may have the COVID. Or the super AIDS. What gives me the most time off of work right now?
Probably the COVID. Do you have your government issued made in China, not FCC or FDC approved COVID tests?
Nope. Can't I just say I have it? I mean, I have symptoms of something. I mean, they probably coincide with COVID.
I mean, I don't think anybody's going to ask you to check. I don't know. I don't know your workplace. I don't know if they'll ask for a positive COVID result or not. Most people don't want the little positive COVID result test because, it's a stick with your snot on it. So,
I've just got this goop. Can I not come into work tomorrow or the entire week?
I mean, if I feel rough, my boss doesn't care what I have. She just says, "Stay home. We don't want it. We don't want to deal with it." I'm like, okay. Are you? Closing thoughts.
Damn, I just found the album I bought yesterday. Digitally. But, yeah, that's all I've got.
So, just for fun, I just punched Replica into the App Store here. And there's a whole bunch of others that come up with it. AI Girlfriend Simulator. Anime AI Friends and Chat Buddies. PP Anime Girls Adult Simulator. I thought they weren't allowed
that
kind
PP?
Of stuff. PP colon Anime Girls Adult. I'm assuming it says simulator. It's cut off.
Okay. One moment I was like, man, this is a fetish that does not need to be introduced to chatbots. You don't want to introduce electricity and anything liquid.
Don't whiz on the electric fence. Just all the
don't have the electric fence whiz on you. I mean, there's all kinds of things we need to learn from this.
All the pictures of this look like fucking poser models. I mean,
oh god, future PSAs, don't let your computer fuck you. End the show, dude. Fuck.
I'm reminded of a warning symbol I saw many years ago. That was they took the safety symbol of not getting your hand caught in gears, and they just put "Do not fist robot girls" next to it. Just that's I've gotten.
Wow,
that's all I got.
We're sorry, your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Attention, attention! There is no cause for alarm. Grasp the nearest oxygen mask and put it over your nose and mouth immediately. There is no cause for alarm. Breathe normally. Use the strap on your mask to keep it in place. There is no cause for alarm.
Now I'm just going to nose down and call it a night.